Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this very excited segment of the A New Day show. I am the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and it is such a blessing to once again be here to be your host this morning. I am excited about this special segment this morning, and later on I will explain to you why. But before we do that, my guest is already in the virtual green room hanging out, and I will bring her on momentarily. However, I want to give you an affirmation for today. It is also my affirmation for today. And it is simple, that there is more for the asking. We have not because we ask not. And I have recommitted myself to keep asking, because God is not experiencing recession. God is not experiencing any kind of shortage. So there is more than enough, and we have not because we ask not. So why don't you decide to begin to ask? Ask for the things that you want. Ask for the amounts that you want. Do not try to limit God, because He is a generous God, and He is willing to give us a lot more than what we ask for. So take caps off of it and just go for it and just ask. I tell you, it was a couple of weeks ago, I went out to one of the stationery stores here in town, and I bought me two of the global maps. And I just began to put sticky on those places that I'm asking God to take me. So I'm out there, I'm asking, and I encourage you to do the same, understanding that there's more for the asking. And I want you to ask, and when you begin to receive, I want for you to call me here on the A New Day show at 646-915-8166 and share those stories with me of the abundance that you have begun to receive. I want to send out special congratulations to my brother and sister, my sister Jennifer Sertle out of Rochester, New York, and my brother Colby Haberman out of Israel. I was privileged to spend this past weekend with them at the book launch. Their book is Tragedy, Leadership, and the Soul. You heard them both on the show here 2 weeks ago, and what a blessing it was for me to be in their presence to witness this great celebration of the birth of this amazing book that is designed to help us change who we are in order to create global change. So again, my congratulations go out to Jennifer Sertl out of Rochester and Colby Haberman from Israel. I want to also express gratitude in meeting these people, Deborah Hughes. And Deborah Hughes is the executive director of the Susan B. Anthony House there in Rochester. Deborah, it was a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for welcoming me into your community so warmly. To Terry Shaka, Terry is the executive director of the Babuba Cultural Center right there in Rochester on University Avenue. Terry, thank you. It's an amazing center that you have there. I look forward to come back there and to help add value. We thank you for your warmness and the love that you demonstrated to me this past Saturday when I came there for the community forum. And to Eric Rhodes. Eric is a financial advisor. And ladies, I'm telling you, Eric is out there. Eric has never been married and all that stuff. And Eric and I got into a very pleasant debate about that. So thank you, Eric, for your sense of humor and for your warmth. And to Shannon Bird, Shannon, girl, you know how to give a party. Shannon is a PR and communication consultant and an amazingly great person. After the book signing, we went out and we spent some quality time, Jennifer and Shannon and myself, and I just spent quality time with her, getting to know her, and she has a lot to offer entrepreneurs and small business owners. Shannon, you too are my sister, and I look forward to our expanding and developing relationship. Teresa. Teresa is the managing director and chief creative officer of the Trestle and Boom. And what an amazing spirit and energy she has. She is just a phenomenal woman. I met her and it was as if I knew her my entire life. I thank you all for embracing me and welcoming me into your community this past weekend. It was just a phenomenal time for me being there and to spend with each and every one of you. That community seemed so closely knit. It was like everyone there were families. I didn't see any strangers. This event took place at the Rochester Yacht Club, and even the people who were attending another event greeted us as we walked by. So it's not every community you go into and experience that kind of love. So I want to applaud all of you for that. I want to remind you that the chat room is open. So join us, and the telephone number to call the show is 646-915-8166. And you know, I began a series called Honor Your Calling, and the latter part of the later part of today's show, I will be discussing portions of strategy, leadership, and the soul. So if you have read the book, I want you to call in and join me in the conversation. I welcome you to do that. Again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And also the chat room is up. I want you also to call in and let us have a stimulating conversation with my guests. And now, without any further delay, I want to welcome another amazing woman, amazing, phenomenal woman that I was privileged to be in her presence on Saturday at this amazing event I went to. And this woman is a photographer, and when you hear her story, you will understand why I brought her on this show so quickly to share her story. Now, for those of you who are my friends on Facebook, check my Facebook out, and all those new pictures that you see posted there from the event this weekend, these pictures were taken by none other than the talented Inga Mucha. Inga, good morning and welcome to the A New Day show.
Good morning, Daphne. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Those pictures are amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. I had a great time. It was a great group of people, and it was so wonderful to meet you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I look at those pictures last night, and I'm saying, where are all my wrinkles? I didn't see any wrinkles. She made me look so young and beautiful. So,
you are.
Go ahead.
Oh, I said you are young and beautiful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, you know, I get so supercharged when I meet people who are walking and operating in their calling regardless of what happens. So I want to start from the beginning. I want to thank you for coming on the show at such short notice. I appreciate that. And I want to start from the beginning. You were born in Poland, and now as a child you went back and forth from Poland to the U.S. So why not tell the listeners, Inga, please, about your humble beginnings, and then we will go on to talk about how you began to do what you're doing now and all of that. So start about your beginning, you know, being born in Poland and all of that.
Okay, I'll try to make it pretty quick.
No, you don't have to rush it. You can tell the people, because people need to understand.
Okay, well, I was born in 1974 in Warsaw, Poland, and my parents immigrated with me in 1980 to Chicago, and I lived from the first to third grade here, and then at the end of the third grade, I went back to Poland and lived from basically fourth grade to the middle of seventh grade with my grandmother, and then I came back in the middle of 87, in the middle of seventh grade, and went to school in the suburbs of Chicago, and my love for photography basically began as a child. Probably during the time when I was living with my grandmother, mm-hmm. She would have all these shoe boxes of photographs of
wow.
people in the family. And I'm an only child, so I never really had much companionship.
Mm-hmm.
So those were like my companions. I would, you know, like one of my fun things to do was to, you know, pull out a box of photographs and lay them out on the floor and just look at them and, I would, you know, make up stories in my mind of what was happening when the picture was taken and who else might have been there and kind of trying to, you know, figure out the storyline of what the picture was saying. And I was fortunate enough, I went to Schaumburg High School, that during our sophomore year, they started a photography program at school, and we had a wonderful teacher. Her name was Jacqueline Sedapani, and she brought photography to our school. And so I first started taking pictures for my high school assignments and fell in love with it. And then after high school, I kind of dabbled a little bit in philosophy and logic and those kinds of things and journalism. And then basically I came to a crossroads where I figured that I needed to decide what I was going to be. And so at that point in time, I made a list of things I was, you know, I've always wanted to do. And then from that list, I made a list of about 10 things. And then from that list, I crossed off about 7 things that I didn't have any natural talent in. Mm. And I think I was left with photography, painting, and writing.
Mm.
And
powerful.
So yes, and that was a great exercise for me. And I really think that my philosophy and logic classes helped me come to that point in my life to figure out, you know, who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love painting, but for painting you have to be a very, very patient person. And unfortunately, I was not given that patience. So I was left with photography and writing. And so I decided, well, photography is communicating. It's another form of communicating. So I decided just to go for it and go for photography. And I came to Rochester, New York in 2003 and began my studies at Rochester Institute of Technology in the Advertising Photography Department.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated in 2006. And have been lucky enough that there are so many great photographers in Rochester that I've been able to assist a few.
Wonderful.
And kind of get a little bit footing underneath my feet. And
yes.
And basically, you know, the point I'm at now is just basically getting away from assisting and going out on my own a little bit more and deciding where I fit in the community, because I definitely don't want to compete with any of the people I've worked for. And also I've come to the realization that my greatest talent is in portraiture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think I'm going to stick for now.
Don't go there yet. Because we have a lengthy conversation. So just stop right there for now, because I want to interject. You said something that was so powerful. You made a list of 10 things, and you crossed off 7. You left with 3. But what I observed from those 3 things that you were left with, they were kind of interconnected. You know, one was kind of dependent on the other. And I hope listeners heard that and paid attention, because oftentimes our purpose and calling and the reason that God created us and placed us on this universe is right under our noses, and we never pay any attention to that. I do a similar activity with my clients when they first come to me for coaching. Because most people figure they don't know what they need to do. And I do something similar. I just ask them to create 2 lists. The things that you know you're good at and excited about. The things that people tell you you're good at. And you get excited about it when they tell you. So let's develop that list and look at it. And oftentimes, the things are identical. There's no difference. And people's eyes, Inga, pop open because they're thinking, oh, it could not be that simple. But we are born with the things inside of us that God wants us to do. And all we need to do is to step out and follow through. Now, you mentioned about assisting others. And I saw that as a time when you were being mentored, or you can look at it as entering into some sort of internship. Because I know you learned well at Rochester Institute of Technology. However, when you went out there into the real world, you began to learn more. Did you find it that way?
Yes. I definitely did. With school, with the education I got at RIT, it was basically all the, technical and basic, foundation education you need to be a photographer. But there are so many more hats you wear, I think, as
exactly.
a successful as a successful commercial photographer. And from the people I've observed, you have to be part entertainer, and you have to have your business skills down, which is the
which is
the biggest hurdle for me, because I'm naturally artistic, so business, comes very hard for me, but I've been working at it and I'm getting more used to it, and it's just a new habit.
And there are many expertise and experts out there that we do not need to do everything ourselves in order to be successful. What we need to do is to have a team around us that will help to catapult us where we need to be. So don't think that you are alone, because you're not. And that's why you get connected with the right people that will help you to be there. It was not an accident that you were there Saturday, and I was also there and saw the potential and the expertise that you have. So things happen. So long as you keep the right associations, you will never be alone. I want to ask, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's, I'm good.
Okay. I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to tell you why I ask this specific question. Do you see yourself as special?
Do you want me to answer now?
Yes.
Do I see myself as special? Oh, that's a difficult question.
All right. Do you have a piece of paper?
I do.
I want you to write that down, because we are going to come back to that question. The next question I want to ask, do you see yourself as being unique?
That I do.
Okay, so that's a yes?
That's a yes. The special, I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that.
Okay, we'll be back. We will be back on that. Do you understand what it means to be authentic?
I read your blog last night.
No, I don't want you to go to the blog. Don't answer me based on the blog. We can go back to the blog if you want, but I just want you to answer. I'm leading up to something here.
Okay. Do I think I'm authentic? I work on being authentic.
Okay. Then, based on the other two questions I just asked you, are you now ready to answer whether or not you're special?
I guess so.
All right, so I'm going to take that as a no, because I think there was more negativity in the answer than positive, and that's all right. There's no right or wrong, because the reason I ask you those three questions is to point out to you that under no circumstances would you be competing with any other photographer there in Rochester. Because you are special, you are unique, and what you give in your work is your authentic self. You with me?
Yes. Yes.
So every time you pick your camera up, it doesn't matter if there's a million other photographers around you, they will not be able to do what you do. And the same applies to them where you are concerned. You will not be able to do what they do because what you are doing is authentically who you are. You got it?
Yep, I got it. Yes, I like that.
You are so special in what you do, Inga. It's not just the camera. It's your total person. When you and I met on Saturday, if I did not see that authenticity, that creativity, that uniqueness, and that special piece in you, you would not have been on this show today. I saw a woman who presented more than taking a picture to me. I watched the way you interact with the people you were taking the picture with. It was not just walking and flashing your camera and moving. It was a lot more. You go into each picture that you take. It comes from your soul, Inga. I want you to understand that. I want you to begin to see yourself as that. Each and every time you walk through your door, remember, you're unique, you're special, and you present authenticity. And that's what I need your focus to be on. You there?
Yep. I will focus on those things.
Yes, because go ahead.
Oh, I think those things are very important, you know, to keep yourself leveled and to keep going forward.
Exactly, because you know something, you heard me mention at the start of the show that there's much more for us asking, and especially as women. We don't ask for enough because we think we are not deserving. And we need to keep working on ourselves and working with ourselves and understand that if it is a cake that you bake, it doesn't matter if you and I use the same recipe. The cake is coming out different based on the amount of love it is cooked with. You know what I'm saying? When I'm mixing that cake, am I joyful? Am I happy? Am I excited? That cake is going to come out different than someone who uses the same recipe and bake it in anger and hatred and envy.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes, you totally.
Yeah, you were saying something about my blog. Now you can say what you were saying about the blog.
Oh, I was reading your blog about all the different things that you should make sure that you are to yourself, and I was reading about the authenticity last night, and I really liked what you said that, you know, just be yourself, and I think that's one of the most important things you can be in any profession, because people, I think, can see through people, and they know when somebody's
phony.
When somebody's phony, and I think a lot of times when people are phony, it's because they're insecure or,
right.
you know, about something. And I think it's just better to be who you are. And if somebody doesn't like you, then, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
And Inga, let's face it. Not everybody's going to like us for the reason that a lot of the people you and I encounter in our lives, they really don't even like themselves. So unless they can love themselves, how can they be receptive to you and I?
That's
impossible.
True. That's true.
So it has nothing to do with us. It has to do with their hatred and their past experiences that they have been lived over their lifetime, that they have been living and not being healed from the hurts and everything. And they just go around with the burdens on their shoulder, thinking that the world is against them, not knowing that they are against themselves.
Yes. And I think that's an important lesson to learn, too. Is
yes.
That responsibility for yourself. In junior college, I went to Parkland College in Champaign, Illinois, and I was lucky enough that we had to take liberal arts as a requirement to graduate, and we had to read a lot of different articles, and one of them was an article by Adrienne Rich called Claiming Your Education. And in the article, she says, let me get it. The first thing I want to say to you who are students is that you cannot afford to think of being here to receive an education. You will do much better to think of yourself as being here to claim one. And
yes.
I think, you know, in life and in your profession and in everything, you just, you know, you have to go after the things you want in life. And you,
that's
you
right.
If you, you know, wait for people to come up to you, then you might be waiting your whole life.
That's right. That's right. You know, a lot of people miss opportunities because they think opportunity is going to be knocking. The people who find opportunities are the ones that are seeking, because Inga, every day we wake up, opportunities are before us. But are we open to receiving them? Are we willing to embrace them? I think we spend a lot of time watching the person in the cubicle next to us and the neighbor next door, instead of focusing on what we are supposed to be doing for ourselves and how we can help to lift us up, you know, out of what we are going through. Because life is very exciting, but we don't tend to embrace because we are always watching somebody else's life instead
yes.
of focusing on our own. Now, I want to ask you a question. Because I observe you operating on Saturday, and I was mesmerized with the energy that you move with and all of that. When you have that camera in your hand, how does it make you feel? What's going on inside of you?
When I have the camera in my hand, I just feel complete, and I guess the word that I would say is yes.
Mm.
You know, it makes me happy. I'm doing what I love to do, and you know, I just love to take pictures. I often have been told that I overshoot at events and such and portrait sessions, but I love to just take a ton of pictures. I love
mm-hmm.
to, you know, explore
mm-hmm.
the scene and see
mm-hmm.
what I can find.
Because for you, you know, the person who is persons who are saying you overshoot, they do not understand your authenticity. And for you, it's not just taking the picture. You are really penetrating that opportunity, out of which the end result will be a picture. But it's not just the shot, the snapshot of the item or the individual. For you, it goes much deeper. And I saw that in you. And that's the reason why I invited you on the show. It was not just simple because you are a photographer. Because I didn't know you took good pictures, Inga. Because I never saw your work. I saw your work just last night, and that was after I invited you to be on the show. I invited you to be on the show because of the passion I observe in you with what you were doing on Saturday, on Friday, and the way you were interacting with the guests and the way you were moving. And I tell you, each time that camera flashed, I saw an expression on your face and in your eyes, and a big old grin. I don't know if you know that.
I don't know. I think if somebody videotaped me photographing, I would probably be embarrassed to watch it. To see. But no, I love it. You know, especially when I get a picture of somebody, you know, laughing or, you know, having a good time with their peers or, you know, I love taking pictures of people how I how I would think that they see themselves.
Wow.
And
amazing.
You know, that's what I always strive for, because, you know, everyone sees themselves in a certain light, and I strive to get that when I take pictures of others.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now,
you heard me mention that there's more for the asking. And I want for you to begin on this show to ask for more. What would be the more that you would want for God to give you when it comes to the career that you now have?
More for the asking. Well, I would love to have my own studio in a year or two. So that would be nice. I guess that would be the biggest thing I would ask for.
Okay. Remember, God loves to give us a lot of things. So, and you know what? At the conference, we are having a conference. I mentioned it to you already. From September, the evening of the 2nd through the 4th. And that conference is designed specifically for that, because we are going to be working on vision boards that the people can leave there with tangible things. So, that's a place you need to be. You want your studio, that's a place you can come. You already put the thought out there. And that's a place you can come, and we can help you to design the action in which to get that. But I tell you, you will get that studio. We are here to, I'm here to help, to send you positive energy and to guide you in whatever way I can, in order to help you to manifest that, because you will have that studio, because you are doing the right thing, you are following through on your calling that God wants you to do, and He will supply your needs. He will. Just keep asking, just keep believing, keep journaling, and be specific about the things you want. You said a year or two. So make up your mind. Do you want it in a year or you want it in 2 years? I want you to begin to journal. And no, I am only a telephone call away, or an email, or a Skype. We are in everything now. Whenever you think I can help you, do not hesitate to call. Now, for the people who are listening to you, Inga, and they are listening from all around the world, and they will listen later on the archive, what would you like to tell them about following and honoring their calling? What would you like to tell people, whether they are young people or grown-ups? What would you like to tell them, please?
I think I would like to tell them that if you follow, you know, your dreams and you honor your calling, you will never be poor, and you will always be, you know, rich, and you'll always be happy, because you'll be doing what you love. And no matter what happens, you know, each day we have to get up and go to work. And when you get up and you're going to do something you love, it just makes life a little bit more fun, you know, and it gives you I think it's important. I mean, I do a lot of work, and then I also make sure to make time to do my own personal projects, because I think, you know, you have to, you know, make money to pay your bills and so forth, but I think it's also very important to feed your soul. Because
amen. 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 You know, as I was listening, and I think you're calling from a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because occasionally we are getting a disturbance, but that's all right. We're going to pray that this continue. We just go on. But while you were saying that, and if you don't hear me respond to something you say, it's because there was a disturbance in the phone, but that's all right. I know it happened with somebody else too sometimes. So we're going to just leave that. I want to, there is somebody I'm going to connect you with on Facebook. And her name is Donna Courier. And I tell you something about Donna. Donna and I met maybe 12 years ago. And Donna was playing with her camera. She was like you. She just liked playing with camera. She was taking everything she could take. She was just having fun. And that has evolved for her so much. And I think it would be a good thing to connect you both so you can exchange ideas. Now she has one of the most amazing studios in Roxbury, Connecticut. And if you come to the conference, I will probably introduce you to her. I don't know if she's going to be there. But I'm going to work towards hooking you both up on Facebook, okay?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
I want to welcome Spirit Warrior in the chat room, and we are on with Inga Mucha. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Actually, it's Muha, but everybody says Mucha, so either way, whatever is easier.
No, no. What is it, Mohawk?
Muha. The C-H in Polish is a silent H, so it's Muha.
Oh, Muha. Good. I'm glad I asked. With Inga Muha, who is out of the Rochester area, and she is a professional photographer. If you look on my Facebook page, you will see some amazing pictures that I posted last night, which were taken by Inga at the book launch this past Friday of Jennifer Sertl and Kobe Huberman. It's a phenomenal book, and I don't know if Inga has time so for us to talk about the book a little later before she goes. So, but we'll see how that goes. So, Warrior 320, we welcome you to the show, and let us know if you have any questions. You can type it in the chat room, or you can call us on the phone, which is 646-915-8166. So we are just so happy that you have joined us. Yes, so back to you, my sister Inga. So what are your long-range goals? What can we look for you in the future? We know you're going to be getting the... We know you are going to be getting the studio. We know that is not a big thing for God. He's going to do that. What else can we look for?
I actually have had an idea for a still life project that I'm going to be working on, and I was actually reading a great book, which I highly recommend. It's called Women Who Run with the Wolves.
Say that again.
Women Who Run with the Wolves.
Uh-huh.
And it's a female psychologist. I believe she's a psychologist. And she took all the fairy tales from all over the world that have women in them, and she dissected them, kind of. And,
beautiful.
You know, she presents the fairy tale first, so you read it, and then she talks about what it symbolizes. And while reading her book, I had a great idea. She talked about this concept in one of the stories that it's life, death, life, and that it's just constantly through our lifetimes we experience this, where, you know, life and then, like, the death of a rebirth, you know. And
Exactly. That's it. Something has to die for something to give birth.
And I really like that idea, so I think this winter I'm going to start working on that project. I just have to figure out how I'm going to approach it.
Okay.
So I guess that's my next biggest thing.
So, well, that's good, but if you didn't copyright your idea yet, don't talk about it. Because we don't want anybody to take it away on the global exposure here, because there's some haters out there, so don't go any further. Don't talk about your idea yet until you copyright it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah, because we don't want anybody to take. I don't know how much of your... have you read any of the book yet, Strategy Leadership on the Soul?
No, I just picked up my copy on Monday, and I'm really excited to read it, because I listened to your... podcast with Jennifer and Kobe, and it just sounds amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to be talking about the book after you and I finish here. So I don't know how much time you have, if you want to hang around a little
or if you want to join us in the chat room. But I'm going to go through portions of it, and it, because it is just such a phenomenal book. All right, we have 15 minutes remaining in this this segment. And I want to talk about, or maybe a little more, if you want to stay on a little more. I want to talk about your life experiences as a female photographer. How has that enhanced or enlightened your life?
I think being a female photographer makes it a little bit harder, just because there are some women that have, you know, come to the forefront of photography. There's Annie Leibovitz and Sally Mann, and I'm sure I'm leaving out a million other ladies that are wonderful, Joyce Tennyson and so forth. And they present its challenges, just because, you know, one is the physical aspect as far as, you know, lifting all the equipment and so forth. And and just because I think there aren't too many women commercial shooters. I mean, there are a few that are really great, and so I think it's harder to try to navigate the waterways.
I think
you just have to go for it, and I think it's also the disadvantages could be turned into advantages. Like for me, the fact that I am a female shooter, and I love to do portraits and like beauty sessions, and I think a lot of times girls, especially the younger girls, I think feel more comfortable with a female photographer, you know, just because, you know, with a male photographer, you never know whether, you know, I just think there's a different comfort level and understanding with two girls than there is with, you know, a boy and a girl. There's always going to be like some sexual tension in the room. So I think that is one of the things that is actually an advantage. And, that's a hard question. I think.
Oh no, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
I think the most important thing I've learned since graduating college is that, you know, just stick to your guns, stick to your dreams, and the most important thing is, I think, perseverance.
Good.
Go ahead.
Yes, because you know something. We go right back to the authenticity of one. When we focus on our authenticity and our uniqueness, all the other things becomes trivial to us.
Yes.
Because even in my career, there are many more ahead of me. Norman Vincent Peale, Tony Robbins, there are many ahead of me. However, I'm not concerning myself about them. I continually focus on the things that sets me apart from them. And not one of them have my sunny personality. There's none of them have my sweet spirit. There's none of them that have my musical accent. So they can't do me. So you got to know all those things. There's always a way around all those things that appears to be obstacles.
Yes, I agree. And the, you know, it's important to take the time.
That's right.
To really look at them and figure out how to flip them from being an obstacle to being an opportunity.
That's right. Because you know, I'm sure they are mobile carriers that you can use to put the heavy equipment in, and to, hey, there's always somebody creating something. And if there is nobody there who created, yeah, maybe that's something for you to create to make things more accessible to female photographers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm so excited that there are women who are paving the way for everything. I was at the airport on my way to Rochester.
Yes.
And I saw a female captain walk by, and man, was I excited. And I said to the lady sitting next to me, I said, "Whoo, I think we got a female captain," not knowing that our flight was delayed 3 hours. So of course it wasn't our captain. But I was excited to see her walk through there. And the lady said to me that, oh, we don't see too many of those anymore. And, you know, I'm glad we are having this conversation, because the young women who will listen to this archive, or they are listening now, we want them to know that there are no limits. They can do and become whatever their sweetheart desires.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, especially in this day and age, you can do what you want to do. There's a lot of opportunities, you know, ahead of everybody, and you just have to figure out how to jump on them and get them.
That's right. That's right. You know, Joe in the chat room wrote, "Use me any way you can, God. God has sent me to you to pass the word. God needs your light and spirit. So be grateful. He will come to you in your dreams." And we just want to thank Joe for that bit of prophecy, because every day God sends different people to us, Inga. Like, you know, I don't know whether or not you realize that this past Friday was the first time I met Jennifer in person.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
That was the first time Jennifer and I met in person. However, maybe, I don't know if it's 6 months or so ago, that we connected on LinkedIn. And I know that that's the sister that God gave me, because it was as if we knew each other from the day we were born. We are so connected. And one of the things she says to me regularly is that I am the angel that God sent to you. So I want to thank Joe for what he just said in the chat room. And I strongly feel that I'm the angel that God sent to you, Inga. And, you know, we just have to understand how to embrace and support each other's vision, as you say, without envy and jealousy. Because God does not bring people in our lives by mistake. Do you believe that?
I do believe that. I do believe that. I think everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it just takes a little bit longer to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Why something happened at a particular time.
That's right. And so long as we stick to it and just keep doing, keep busy, keep doing, it will manifest itself to us, because we really, a lot of time, we don't have to try to figure it out, because it will reveal itself to us.
Yes, and the most important thing is to keep going, because once you stop, then that's the end of, you know, that's the
mm-hmm.
end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're onto a different journey. But if you want to continue with, you know, the journey of, you know, honoring your call, I think that's so important, because I think it makes you a complete person, and it helps you think and see the world more clearly instead
that's
of
right.
being confused.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. It is just so amazing. It is amazing that God just sent people from all over the world to just encourage us and to help us to get this vision done. You know,
yes.
I look at the portrait of just the presence of Jennifer and Kobe when they were giving the speeches.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the picture that you took with when Kobe was speaking and Jennifer, and you could see the admiration and the joy and the peace in which she was just listening to him so intently. You remember when he was giving her the CD?
Yes, yes.
And I look at that picture and I said, my God, we need a lot more of these relationships around the world. It doesn't matter about our ethnicity, Inga. It doesn't matter about our houses of worship. It doesn't matter if each of us decide that we want to change ourselves. We can make an impact in all this hatred that is going on in the world. You know, I can do it with this radio show. You can do it with your camera. Because last Wednesday this time, you and I didn't know each other.
No.
And here we are today talking and deciding what we can do to make a difference in the world. This is amazing. This is amazing.
Hey,
now,
how
are
you?
Huh?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Sorry.
What do you do for fun, Inga?
For fun, I get together with my friends, and we usually go to some scenic location, which we're very lucky. There's a lot of really wonderful lakes and hills and trails around Rochester, and so, you know, we just get together, and we come up with some crazy, kooky idea, and we go have fun for the day. And I take pictures of them, and they're willing participants.
Hey, Inga, you read my mind, because guess what I was just going to ask you? And I bet you take the camera with you. Oh, it's such amazing. It is just so wonderful. Your friends are blessed to have you in their lives and all of that. So what are some of your long-range goals other than this studio?
Long-range goals? I've toyed with the idea of teaching maybe in about 15, 20 years. I think right now I'm still so hungry for pictures that I wouldn't make a good teacher at this time. But
hey, you're too funny. Inga.
Yes.
15, 20 years. You could be teaching summer school with the kids outside in the outdoor. You don't have to wait for 15, 20 years when you're an old woman.
That's true.
You notice I said you're an old woman, Inga. Remember, I'm the same one who told you that I thought you were a young girl Saturday. And I want the listeners to know that even 70 years from now, she's still not going to be looking like a young woman, like an old woman, because this lady, she looks like she's a little girl and she's a grown woman, so she's never going to be looking old. But, you know, as we sit here and speak, Inga, I think that's one thing you could do in the summertime. You could teach kids how to take pictures.
I think that's a great idea. I would actually love to teach kids because they're so open-minded to everything.
Right.
And they're so excited about life and everything's a big adventure.
You don't have to wait to that time. That could be your summer program.
That's true.
You would be having fun with your camera. They would be having fun. You're excited. They're excited. And it's a win-win for everybody. So please don't wait 15, 20 years.
Okay, I won't.
Because you are depriving some talented kid out there who want to learn.
That's true. That's a great idea, actually. I might end up making some flyers and putting them out there for that.
I don't like that M word.
Oh, duh.
Okay. I will go for it. I don't like that M word. I don't like that mic.
I will go for it. I will do it this summer.
Yes,
and I will keep you posted.
Oh, yes. Yes, and then you come back, and after the summer classes, we can have you and the kids on so they can share about what it was like for them.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
So let's go for it. You know I'll be coming up there to stalk you to see if it's happening. So, hey. Okay, let us... I want you to summarize our conversation. I want you to just let the people know what you want them to remember your first time on the A New Day radio show as. What do you want them to keep in their minds? If you would give them, let's say, maybe a checklist, Inga, for their life, for them to kind of start harness they need to do, what would that checklist look like? And you can look back when you were in Poland looking on those pictures and everything. What would you like to give them what do you want to leave them with, please?
I would say definitely reflect on your life and all the things you've done and when you've been the happiest. And I, if you're having a hard time deciding what profession to choose, definitely make a list, you know, of things you've always wanted to be. And then, you know, after a day or so, take the list again and cross out all the things you don't have any natural ability in and see what you're left with. And then try and see how you can marry those things into one thing. And there is a great Avid Brothers song. My friend Janelle got me into this band. And one of
Say that again.
Oh, there's an Avid Brothers song. They're a band that my friend Janelle made me a CD of. And there's a line in one of their songs that says, decide what to be and then go be it.
Ooh,
and I just love
powerful.
That. I know. I just love that line. I just think it's just, it's so simple and so powerful.
And life is simple. We are the ones that complicate the thing. Isn't that the truth?
I believe so. And I, you know, I feel very lucky and blessed to have met you and all of my friends. And I think these meetings that just happen, I think, you know, there is purpose. And I feel like I get great power and energy from people like you and Jennifer and a lot of the people I have assisted and everyone you meet. You know, you might not know why you're meeting them, but down the road
yes.
you will see that they've influenced you in a positive way.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I, you know, I pray and will continue to pray for your continued success. Keep following your heart. I know I won't have to beat you over the head with a 3x4 because... I know that you know what you need to do. You have been doing it for years. You had done it back in Poland. You didn't go out and pine for what you didn't have. I didn't have siblings. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. But you found solace and joy and peace in those boxes of photographs. And it has impacted your life in a way that... you can now help others to create those boxes of photograph, whether you do it on CD or DVD or, you know, picture printed, whichever way. But I know that you are in a position to continue to place joy in people's lives, to help them to create the legacy of family and relationship in whatever form. And all I can do, Inga, is to continue to pray and support your work in whatever way I can do. Please do not hesitate to call on me when you need, but you will always be in my prayers.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm so honored to have met you and to be on your show and to be a recipient of your wisdom.
Thank you. You are so kind. I want for you, Inga, to please give the people your contact information. And, hey, sister girl, get ready to start traveling. Because the phone's going to be ringing off the hook when they see all those nice pictures you took. So let the people know how to get in touch with you, your website and all of that, please.
Okay. My website would probably be the easiest place to go. It's www.ingamucha.com, so ingamucha.com. Or you can reach me at my phone number, which is 585-233-2150.
Repeat the website for me because I'm putting it in the chat room.
Okay, it's and it's just my name, so it's
Okay, I got it. I got it then. All right, so I put it in the website, and I thank you for coming on and to just giving us so much joy in the show this morning. Is there anything else you want to say before you say ta-ta?
I just want to say thank you very much, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week, and thank you so much to you for having me on and to your listeners. And decide what to be, and then we'll be it.
Thank you, my sister and friend. We'll be in touch soon.
I'm going to be talking a little bit about, not a little bit, I'm going to be talking about Jennifer and Kobe's book for the remaining of the show. So you want to tweet some people, let them call in, or, you know, join us in the chat room and everything. If you're at a place where you can pull your copy out and anything you want to, you know, join me on, we can do that. So love you, my sister friend. It was a pleasure meeting you, and thank you again for making me look so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I love you too, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you. I will do that. God bless you, Inga.
And you too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye, Daphne.
Bye, Inga.
Yeah, bye-bye.
That was Inga Muha Sinchites. I have to remember how to pronounce it in Polish. And Inga and I met up at the Rochester Yacht Club this past Friday. I was there in celebration of Kobe's and Jennifer's book. And Inga was the official photographer. And I tell you, you should see how that woman operates. She operated from her soul. It was amazing to see how she handled that camera and everything. So I just wanted, and I went on her website, read about her story about being from Poland, and how she had a passion for photography, and then she went ahead and followed through on her passion and calling. So I think this was a destined to meet segment. So I'm just so thankful that she was able to be on the show. And I want you to go ahead and check the pictures out on my Facebook page and just leave a little bit of feedback. So I want to now remind you that the Vision Weekend Conference is coming up on September the 2nd and through the 4th. It will be at the Heritage Hotel in Southbury. I want you to visit the website at visionweekend.com. Catch your early bird registration. Early bird is just it's up until the 30th of June. We need your support there, so go on there and support us. For those who are looking to do a group rate, we would like for you to call us at 860-855-9838 or 860-355-9838, 718-753-0244. Or 203-885-9434. And that is the telephone number that you can call us if you are interested in getting group rates for the Vision Weekend Conference, September 2nd through the 4th. Again, the number to call here at the show is 646-915-8166. And I will spend the remainder of the show highlighting portions of the book, Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul, Resilience, Responsiveness, and Reflection for a Global Economy, Jennifer Sertl and Kobe Huberman. You heard them on the show here on the 2nd of June. And since I have a copy of the book in my hand, which was personally autographed by my brother, Kobe Huberman, and my sister, Jennifer. And Jennifer writes, "Daphne, you have been a gift. Love, Jen." Kobe says, "Dear Daphne, you are family. Thank God we met you, Kobe." And I feel the same way about both of them for allowing me into their world and to be part of this amazing journey. Now, I am going to go into part three of the book. And I want to just tell you some of the things that you will be reading about the book. The book is done by Triarchy Press out of the UK. So go on Amazon, go all over and look for the book and get a copy. Now, this book deals with the evolution of organization, world transformation, the trans-organization, characteristic of the trans-leader, trans-organization, trans-tragedy, part 6, practices and intentional trans-leadership, part 7 deals with your personal transformation, and part 8, the next transformation, part 9, toward one organization, 2010 and onward. And so you see that all of what's here is really deserving. So let me read portion of the book here from part 3, which deals with the trans organization from 2003 to date. Change alone is eternal, perpetual, immortal. And that was from Arthur Scott Mafair. Out of all the profound changes of the last few decades, a new kind of organization has emerged. An organization distinctly different from those that came before it. We call it the T organization, or transitions, trans organization. Trans organizations are organization in a state of a permanent transformation. They are not just gradual changing through incremental improvement, but are forever redefining their core business and their potential areas of growth, and with greater speed than ever. Most P organizations are just beginning to reorganize the need to change. Fully fledged. T organizations are still relatively few in number, but they are the bar biggers of the future, beginning to appear throughout the world and in some very unexpected places. A supermarket chain company in New York, a holding company in Brazil, a manufacturer of a semiconductor machine in Israel, for example. What are the major characteristics of trans organizations? We claim they are the following, and we will look at each of these characteristics in turn. They shape their strategy and leadership via a special premise, their soul. They act humanistically, not mechanically. They look differently at organizational structure. They have core action culture. They excel in distance based operations. They master flexibility as a core virtue. They look for competence externally. They de-emphasize power and focus on energy. They produce offerings. They manage expiration base operations. They speak a different language. They overcome the challenge of over communications. The soul of trans organization. Perhaps the most profound difference between transitional companies and trans organization is that the trans organization has consistently defined and shaped its soul. By that we mean the intricate corporate identity that underlines all that it does, that informs its business practices to aim its aims and goals, its internal and external relationship, and its integral sense of direction. Sharing an aligned way between its employees, its managers, its shareholders, and its business partners. This should not be confused with the superficial image that conventionally corporations present to their customers, their supplier, and the outside world. Through advertising, public relations, and public appearance of the CEO, this image is an aspect of marketing, not a proclamation of inner identity. For trans organizations, understanding and developing the soul is a highly conscious and intentional process. It is their reason for being, their interface with the world. It is why they do what they do in the manner they do. What are the elements in the soul of the trans organization? There are many, and they vary in strength and in combination. Does the company itself has a technical leader or a market leader? It is satisfied to be a niche player. Does it keep market share above all else? How does it see its social responsibility? How does it feel about its customers, its employees, and its competitors? How big does it want to get? The best way to describe the soul is through the metaphor of a premise. On the following page is a diagram of 6 angles or dimensions of that premise. And at the head, you have I want to explain it for you, seeing that you're not seeing the book. And for those of you who do not have your copy yet, I want to explain to you. At the top of the diagram, it says the trans organization's premise of the soul. There's a small circle in the middle, and inside that circle are the words "your biz." Then at the top, there's a straight, bolded black line towards the word brand identity. And all of these highlighted bold black lines are attached to the circle where the two words, "your biz." The second one goes to the words "sensors" and "informational flow." Then the third one goes to collective stakeholders' experiences. And the next one, core business clarity. And the next one, financial awareness. And the other one, knowledge management. Number one, core business clarity is perhaps the most fundamental element of any trans organization soul. The simple answer to the question, what business are you in, is no longer sufficient because it looks at the past rather than the future. Instead, trans organizations ask, what business do you want to be in? And what business do you want to build? It is surprising how many organizations have not answered these tough questions. Many businesses we know simply continue to do what they are best at, ignoring those markets might disappear. Trans organizations should keep asking this question from time to time as they are continually reshaping their future. Number two, collective shareholders' experience. Trans organizations do not defend their soul from their cave, but are about the experience that they generate. And they keep asking the question, what is the experience that we want to generate, rather than just measure where they are? Stakeholders' experience management is a tough task, yet its continuous development builds trans organizations' soul. Number three, financial awareness, real-time awareness of the trans organization's financial health and well-being is too often ignored. The need to have real-time awareness of financial health and risk is far from being acted on, and it is not just a question of information system. The balance between profit awareness and profit investment is just one example of what we mean by financial health. Is profit today rather than investment for growth tomorrow the right value? This is just one aspect of the financial dimension of the trans organization soul. And clearly, financial awareness requires sophisticated real-time sensor in order to build a healthy, real-time, accurate, and meaningful financial awareness. Sensors and information flow, number four, is an area where organizations are inundated with huge amounts of data. There is a need to understand what's relevant. The information transitions choose to follow accumulated process and disseminate is filtered by their soul. And it is surprising to see how many organizations are collecting tons of data without asking what's really relevant. Knowledge management, number five. The soul of trans organizations shapes the way they learn, accumulate knowledge, store, disseminate, and discard knowledge, in the area of short life cycle and knowledge, the soul of the organization filter shapes and determines the process of knowledge accumulation and management. Again, we are surprised to see how many organizations are missing the importance of building effective knowledge management practices. This is a need to track, scale, and develop both the tactics and experiential knowledge in an organization. Brand identification number 6. Last but not least, brand identification is shaped by the soul of the organization and not vice versa. When it is aligned with the soul, people recognize that the brand identity is genuine. If it is not, they will easily see through it and will not buy the projected identity. Therefore, it is imperative that once trans organizations reflect and define their soul, they should sought to rebrand. The above six dimensions are the angles of the trans organization premise. Through which the trans organization sees its soul. They determine the quality of their product and service. They determine its marketing philosophy. They determine the nature of the work environment. They inform its public behavior and the manner in which it exercises its citizenship. They are embedded in everything the trans organization does. In fact, in order to reach this level of awareness, the trans organization's ongoing source of energy that will become the light illuminating its premise, and that's all of the new responsibility of the leaders of the trans organization, who will be described later in the book. Humanistic versus mechanistic. Another striking difference between trans organizations and traditional organizations is that trans organizations consciously operate humanistically rather than mechanically. It's tempting to regard this with cynicism, as it is there, we're just another new age bumper sticker. It is anything but that. It is real, it is practical, and it's directed to the bottom line at survival and success. Trans organizations are less concerned about fitting people into jobs than they are about fitting jobs into people. They don't put permanent and limiting labels on people like numbers guy or technology guy or product guy. They provide opportunities for people and professional development, and they reward changes and improvements. They encourage growth, additional education, and new interests. Our course, trans organizations hire people for their skill sets in part, but they look at them much more deeply, at their proficiency and inclinations, talents, weaknesses, capacities, personal motivations, intellectual lives, the emotional lives, all of which govern their behavior and their attitudes toward themselves and their places in the company, in the working world, and in life. That means trans organizations recognize and respect the fact that all their employees have rich, meaningful, and important second lives. Lives filled with families, recreation, hobbies, interests, concerns, beliefs, lives that are of transcendent importance to them. Trans organizations understand that fulfilling second lives make their employee more capable and more valuable. Recognition of employees' second lives is reflecting in the job through attitudes, benefits, and consideration. Employees are not a nameless, faceless herd, but distinct individuals with distinct qualifications, needs, and situations. They work with others more than they work for others. The working atmosphere at the trans organizations is distinctly different from previous organizations and iterations. It is easily friendly, unceremonious, and less formal in every way. In attire, meetings, titles, and names, hours, protocol, and other traditional rules. Within the trans organization at any given time, some people, and it could be just about anyone, will not be working in a traditional setting. They are at home or on the road, working on their own or connecting with others as necessary electronically. They are not chained to their desks, either fatiguingly, literally, or literally. New ways of structuring the organization. In our consulting work, we often ask people how they design their organizations. What was their guiding principle, other than division of responsibilities, accountability, span of control, business lines, etc.? The typical answer, by functions. And when we ask how their people truly interact, the answer is by problems or tasks. So we ask, who is your vice president for non-paying customers? Or who is your director for non-functioning products? Or who is running your department of always late new products? And who is the vice president for unhappy customers? CEOs and other leaders tend to design organizational based on ideal and positive functions collection, products, quality research and development, and customer care. But this structure does not really reflect organizational needs today. Why? Because whenever an organization faces a real challenge, it needs to involve several departments of people from different disciplines. So, in fact, the current physical structure of the organizational hierarchy is mainly a reservoir of talent and expertise. The borders between departments in a transition do not necessarily mark a clear allocation of ownership, responsiveness, and problem-solving responsibility. We saw this clearly at one company we advised. It was having a problem with a major customer concerning delay payment. It had regular procedure to deal with this kind of problem, but these procedures had failed. We urged them to assemble a task force that included people from sales, customer care, operations, legal and financial, and assigned the problem to this group. It was easy for the organization to do this. It wasn't the way it normally operated. It was difficult to cross departmental boundaries, difficult to identify which person from which department might be helpful. The initial meeting was awkward. It was hard for everyone to articulate the share a company's 360-degree view of customer situation. Then someone made a suggestion. Someone who hasn't expected to contribute much. Someone from a department that were perpetually involved at best. Within 24 hours, the problem was solved. In a trans organization, this approach is built in. It is legitimate and spontaneous. Trans organizations habitually create ad hoc task force coalitions of experience from several different domains, and they easily put together different teams from different departments to deal with the different kinds of challenges and as appropriate. Thus, trans organizations have fundamental differences from traditional organizations, even in their base structure. Instead of being built according to strong hierarchical organization charts, the charts of trans organization are remarkably flat and intensively networked. Many layers have been cut out of this usual chain of command. So, what more people have direct contact with higher level officers? This gives new ideas, easier, faster access to the top, and it gives leaders easier, faster access to people below them. The people whose hearts and minds must win over in order to mobilize the organization's vision and goals. Ideally, trans organizations are shaped like a MOBAS, not high-rise building, but change shape of necessary as necessary on nodule, expand another, shrinking two nodules, moving closer together or further apart, and necessary and always in flux. The object is connected flexibility, not rigid structure. To use a computer metaphor, the trans organization consists of a group of network hubs, not a mainframe and a series of nodes. It is not a pyramid, but an expanding series of interconnecting roads. What's the value of this less structured structure? The main advantage is flexibility. Trans organizations are able to deal with challenges and imprint on two or more conventional departments without having to rewrite the organization chart every time a circumstances change. Operating with the amoeba-like structure and with semi-permeable borders, trans organizations can easily form cross-departmental teams to work on multidimensionary problems or opportunities, then to change course and from new cross-departmental teams as the challenges change or a new challenge develops. In these trans organization departments, many still exist, at least in name, but they are less formal and less constrained. They do not operate separately, but with knowledge of each other and imagination from the department to another is not against the rules, but encouraged when it makes sense for everyone. This allows personnel and expertise to be deployed in an ad hoc task-oriented manner that meets the dynamic needs of the trans organization and levels the human talent available. It allows for the natural emergency of a dynamic, self-organized procedure in which people from a number of different departments become aware of a problem or spot an opportunity and voluntarily assemble themselves onto a team to deal with it. It is a price to pay for creating this kind of trans-organizational structure, and it's the executive manager who will have to pay it. Flattering the organizational chart involves the reallocation of the tangible managerial assets such as people, budget, span control, etc. This may well cause anguish among the executive whose titles have been shortened, whose position in the organizational chart has just gone down the level, who have trouble accepting the need to share resource, who are accustomed to having a large number of people report to them, etc. They will feel often acutely a loss of status and power, but as we shall see, the word status and power belong to that previous organizational ages. Flattening the organization presents a serious managerial challenge. How to shift from the status of power view of high-structured organization to the task-driven and amoeba-shaped structure of the trans organization. Leaders of trans organizations need to find ways to model, drive, and reward entrepreneurial behavior that focuses on cross-department coalitions and ways to develop and encourage the formation of brilliant, unstructured ad hoc teams, spontaneously appearing out of the maboba-like shape of the trans organization. We are not suggesting the element of all structure and organization. The charts are still necessary, but the rigidity of past cannot continue. Co-action author, we have a major problem, said a friend of ours. Our executive is R&D, section of one of the largest high-tech companies. Our veteran researcher and scientists are having trouble with our new researchers and scientists. They feel their authority isn't being respected, and they are not being taken seriously. The new people are accusing the old people of being masters of old things. And not being up to date. One of our most brilliant new hirees has told me he doesn't understand what value he's getting from his experienced manager. We recommend that he speaks to his manager about the need to develop unnecessary skills to deal with people who may know more than they do. Instead of assuming people they are managing know less than they do, and are depending on their expertise. We could see that life experience, managerial maturity, emotionally intelligent skills, judgment capability, asking the right question and radiating a positive personality were as important, if not more important, than pure domain expertise. Building a creative atmosphere that will inspire innovation is sometimes as difficult as inventing new technology. For hundreds of years, the Western world operated on conviction that knowledge and expertise, as well as age, were the key factors in appointing people to managerial positions. The best shift manager became a line manager, and the best line manager became the factory manager, etc. The concept was both simple and reasonable the more you knew. The better a manager you would make, and this idea has survived to this day. Many organizations still hold these views, especially those with a clear hierarchical structure and a reasonable routine and stable work situation. The idea that performance and knowledge should lead to promotion is still deeply rooted in the industrial environment. But corporations rarely look at the third quality, one that could be more important than the other two, the ability to cope with the unknown and the unexpected. those trans organizations recognize that fundamental change is taking place in the old knowledge age archetype, and this change has altered the way they address problems and challenges, and even now they make promotions. Is the knowledge age and experience veteran and a manager thought newcomers and showed them how to solve problems? It was quite easy to map out problems and solutions when our unknown problems popped up. It was turned over to experts who figure out the solution and thought it to be the rest of the organization. This internship model still applies to many professionals and working in environments that are the least affected by social technology and economical change. The implications of this model are very interesting. The experts become the hero of the corporation. There is a growing need for specialization to build deeper expertise. The organization functions best when problems are rooted to those who can solve them. The equation is clear. Experience equal value. But what is the old equation? The new equation is not so neat, but more in tune with today's realities. We call it the meta-knowledge equation. Meta-knowledge is not the know-how need to solve the problem. It is the know-who, the know-how needed to assemble the resource necessary to solve the problem. It is the difference between knowing that the population of Zambia is 11,688,668 and knowing how to find the information. Meta-knowledge involves the ability to find or assemble information from existing sources such as Google or books or experts. And most importantly, it is the part of harnessing collective intelligence in order to solve problems and challenges. In a way, it requires a once brilliant violinist to become a successful conductor. This you can see, it's an amazing book, and I just wanted to do this this morning to take the time to read a portion of the book, Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul, which is authored by Kobe and Jennifer. And I wanted to just read that for you to encourage you to go out there and get the book. It is Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul, Resilience, Responsiveness, and Reflection for a Global Economy. And it is out of Triarchy Press in the UK. Please pick it up, read it. It will transform and change your life. I just want to read the 8 characteristics of a trans leader. They see themselves through the premise, their soul, and have the ability to see the world among them through various lenses. They exercise power by sharing leadership. They make an impact at a distance. They are masters of agility. They are restlessly innovating. They look at the world from a distance and define gravity. They welcome diversity. They master the balance between focuses and flexibility. Let's look at each of these characteristics. Get the book. Again, I can't say enough for strategy, leadership, and the soul. I pray I have encouraged you enough to go out there and get the book. I want again to ask you to visit my website, clarkhudson.com, and pick up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success. I want to encourage you to visit my blog, Queen of the Empowered Soul, at blogspot.com. Leave me a remark, encourage me, tell me what you think. Vision Weekend Conference, .com, and the conference is Vision Weekend Conference, Shape Your Vision for Greater Success, and that's for entrepreneurs and small business people or wannabe entrepreneurs or people are looking to just transorganize your life. You need to be there September 2nd through the 4th at the Heritage Hotel in Southbury. Again, the website for that is visionweekendconference.com. We pray to see you there. We hope you enjoyed my guest this morning, Inga Mucha. And I am just so excited. I'm doing some series with... series of honor your calling. So if you are out there and you are honoring your calling and doing what God wants you to do, I want for you to please give me a call and let's talk about having you on the show. Again, I encourage you to mark my show favorite. Get me as a friend, connect with me on Twitter and Facebook, and let us build our relationship. Remember, I'm on a mission to transform, to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And I need your help to help me doing that. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying so long. See you next week, same time, same place. And know that you were created for a destiny. Connect with it and go out there and make a difference in this world. You do not have to settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Be blessed. Love you guys, and I see you next week.
For showing me
and directing me.
my destiny.
Hallelujah. To my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it. Tell Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me.
Directing me.
Speak to it. My destiny.
My destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for you. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh,
nice to hear. Just got off the show. You have a minute? I just got off the show. Somebody came on the show, on the talk, on the chat, in the chat room. I want to read this for you. The person's name is Spirit Warrior. The person said, good morning. Then, God love and light be with you. Archangel Michael be with you. Archangel Michael be with you. Right? Archangel Michael be with you. Archangel Michael be with you. Everything means anything or nothing at all. God works in mysterious ways. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is at hand. Here and now, Philippians 4:4-5. Behold, see, your God, for the time is at hand. Isaiah 40. No, this is in the chat room. Just hear me out. Isaiah 40 verse 9, Revelation 22:10. See what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, and we should be called the sons of God. You are a perfect representation of God as yourself. You are a perfect representation of God, Dynamic Daphne. God finds you simple, irresistible. You are all blessed and favored by God. My name is Joe, and then he put his name and put where his homeland is. Where is this? B-O-R-I-G-E-N. Where is that? B-O-R-I-Q-U-E-N. And then he said, that's his homeland. That's where his mother is from. And then he said his mother is T-A-I-N-I-O, Indian. The Lord will come to you in your dreams. And then he said goodbye and left. I couldn't read it because, you know, I do all my show by myself, so I ain't got time to be reading what people say in the chat room, really. But I was just reading that. It's just in the chat room. So, you not understand. It's not pop up. Right, you know, people sign on to the show. I'm still going to write them scripture down and read them. Yes, that's why I said. And he didn't stay around to be chatting or nothing because he left. Why am I saying he? I don't know if it's... Well, Joe. Yeah, Joe is a he. So I'm just going through it now. And I say, isn't it nice for somebody to come and put scriptures? That's what I'm saying, you know. So I'm going to read them scripture and see what it is. So what's up with you in your side of the world? Where he going? Get the heck out of here. So who taking over? I don't know who that. So let me ask you something. Frank Kelly was a doctor? Okay, but they're replacing him with a doctor. That maybe is a better move, because they understand. Yeah, so about the doctor, we understand not only the business part, but how to administer and everything too. Yeah. Oh, nice. He was working alongside him all these years. Oh. Recessor. Not recessor. What do you call the word? Where the person take off for the... Not replacement, but successor. So, he's a young person? Oh, okay, yeah. Funky. Yeah. Nice. So you're not going to... Where's the event taking place? Oh, so you're not going to the work today? Okay. You go. How much? Every department have a representative? Or just the head? Oh! Okay. I thought it's like the head of the department or whatever. Oh! They don't care where you work. So long as you pay yourself. Oh, God. Nice. You turn a party animal. You and Blanche is toe and toe now. So you, yes, you are Miss Blanche. That's it. All right, honey girl. You have a good, enjoyable day. All right. Bye bye.